If you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 begins like this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As we come to a day of thanksgiving, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, once again, we want to thank You for this place, this opportunity, the freedoms we have to come together, to sing songs to You, to pray together, to read Your Word together. Lord, may this be a time of being with You. Lord, may You touch each of our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the Sunday after Thanksgiving, it seemed appropriate that we consider giving thanks. We are a people, a nation that have been truly blessed by God. Of all those who give thanks to Him and praise His name, as Christians, our name should be on the top of that list. People make lists of wishful things for Christmas, lists of resolutions for New Year's, and on Thanksgiving, some people make lists of all those things for which they are thankful. If we were to take time to make a Thanksgiving list, we would find that we have much more to be thankful for than just our material possessions. Our list could include major things like our life, our health, our family and friends, and despite all of its flaws, the nation we live in, which is still the best nation around. In addition to that, we'd find that we are thankful for our salvation, our church family, the mercy that God showers on each one of us every day. With Jesus and His love, we have so much to be thankful for on Thanksgiving. As James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Have you ever thought, occurred to you, that no American was more underprivileged than that small handful from the Mayflower who started the custom of setting aside a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God? They had no homes and no government agency to help them build homes. They had no means of transportation but their own legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest. They had to get it for themselves, sometimes at great risk. They had no money. For that matter, they had no place to spend it if they had any. They had no amusements except what they made for themselves. No means of communicating with their relatives way back in England. No health insurance, no Social Security, no Medicare. But anyone who dared call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks. For they had four of the greatest human assets: initiative, courage, willingness to work, and a boundless faith in God. A boundless faith in God sounds kind of strange today in a time and a culture when powerful forces are at work in our nation, in our culture, that strip us of every reminder that the very foundation of our nation was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God. Our Declaration of Independence declares, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And ends with these words: with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. One might assume that because of the examples of our forefathers, and because today we have so much, that we would be an extremely thankful people. But it's often just the opposite, isn't it? The more we get, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, and the more we want. Again, the more we get, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, and the more we want. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 that we looked at Wednesday night, God said in so many words to the Israelites, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. The problem was, if you read the Old Testament, it didn't take very long for the people of Israel to do just that, to forget. And I'm afraid that we can be just as guilty. Psalm 100 reminds us all of the reasons for giving thanks. This time of year, there's a real danger of determining our level of thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. Do we have enough turkey to gorge ourselves sufficiently? Is my money in the bank secure? Do I have more than just a penny? Am I healthy? Things shouldn't determine whether or not we are thankful. We all know that these things will change with time. They'll drift away. They'll burn up. Someone can steal them. We get old and our bodies don't work the way they used to. The only thing we can be sure of is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the 100th Psalm emphasizes. This is the basis of thanksgiving. The love of our awesome God and Heavenly Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul asked the Corinthian Christians a couple of questions. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you didn't? Psalm 100 gives the answer. It's found in every verse. The basis of our thanksgiving, the reason for giving thanks, isn't a thing. It is the Lord and all that He is. I've read that that Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging in his office. It's a picture of a turtle on the top of a fence post. Some of you might have seen it in other places. When someone asked him, why is that there? Mr. Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that turtle on the top of the fence post and remember, he didn't get there by himself. He had help. The reason for giving thanks is to remember that we got where we are with the help of God, that He is the provider of every blessing we have. Ephesians 1:3, I think, as Jill read, puts it this way, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If we go back and look at Psalm 100, it's actually a series of five commands regarding giving thanks. First command is there in verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord. It means a shout of loyalty, of homage, a shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of a person's heart. Let me show you an example. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. A story that some of you know, most of you know, Elisha and the prophets of Baal had a competition. The prophets of Baal built an altar, they put an ox on it, and they had to pray to their God to start the wood on fire. Nothing happened. Then it came turn for Elijah. So verse 36 of 1 Kings 18 is Elijah's turn. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God! This was a shout of joy, a shout of homage to God Almighty. Maybe in the past year, God has solved a major problem for you. Maybe He's given you the direction to go. Maybe He's provided a blessing. So from the depths of your hearts, proclaim His praise. Shout for joy to the Lord. Pastor tells a story of a missionary who came up to him one day after he had delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment which would stop progressive blindness. So people came to him, and he performed his treatment, and they would leave realizing that they would have been completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. He said they never said thank you because that phrase was not in their dialect, in their language. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it to everyone they saw. And that's, I think, what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly, you realize that God has been so good to you that you just can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your being, shout your joy to the Lord. You tell his name. Shout for joy to the Lord. Second command is found in verse 2 of Psalm 100. Contrary to the NIV translation, the first word should be serve, not worship. Command is serve the Lord with gladness. Doesn't say serve the church or serve the pastor or the leaders or serve some organization. It says serve the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are serving him. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, begin verse 31. Jesus talked about the same thing. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for the least of the brothers of mine, you did for me. Serve with gladness. It's natural to desire appreciation when you do something that's worthwhile. But in Colossians 2, verse 23, we read, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Or as the psalmist wrote, and whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Third command is, come before him with joyful songs. Come before him with joyful songs. As he stood in awe before God, Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, that in spite of all the troubles around him, he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Think about it. In these first three commands in Psalm 100, children of God are told to shout with joy, serve with gladness, come with joyful songs. But it's just not in the Old Testament. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 18. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. How about you? Do you have joy? God's joy in your heart? Is it seen in your face? Is it seen in your actions? The psalmist said, come before him and serve him and sing his praise with joy in your heart. Come before him with joyful songs. Fourth command, know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. God took every bone, every joint. He laid them together with tendons and ligaments and muscles. As God, he covered them with skin. He gave us eyes that see, brains that think, fingers that can pick things up. God made us inside and outside. He made you exactly the way he wants you to be. Everything you are and have is from God. God, in his wisdom, decided he wanted you in just the shape and the size that you are. Think about it. Before time began, God had you in mind. He made you exactly the way he wanted. And God doesn't make mistakes. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And he's still making us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is important to remember. God isn't satisfied with an unfinished product. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of our lives where we're giving in to temptation. So he's still making us. He's still working on our lives. God is your maker. He created you in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are. The psalmist then said, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Many of us would rather be shepherds and not sheep. It's not fun being a sheep, we think. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters and where the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them, we invariably get lost in a dark place. God is saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd, and I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. Just let me lead. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're following the leader of your Lord and Savior, then you'll be able to give thanks in all circumstances, the difficult as well as the good. Because as Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, the psalmist said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people went to the temple and entered the courtyard, they knew they had come into the presence of Almighty God. The temple doesn't exist any longer. But sometimes the place where we meet to worship is called the sanctuary, this room. But really, God is omnipotent. That is, he's everywhere. He's with you as you drive down the highway. He's with you at work or in school or wherever you may be. He's with you every moment of your life and everywhere you go. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? This is our source of thanksgiving. The psalmist summed it up this way. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Again, sadly, as we start out by saying, the more we get, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, and the more we want. Reasons for giving thanks? Things should not determine whether or not we're thankful. A reason for giving thanks is the Lord in all that he is. We need to remember that we got where we are with the help of God. Five commands. Shout for joy to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. All sounds good, don't you think? But I wonder, what if God began to treat us like we often treat Him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give Him our lives, our thanks? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumble when God sends the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to His messages, or we wouldn't share it with others? What if He wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers, that we answer His call for us to serve Him? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow Him today? Thanksgiving is a man-made holiday so that everyone can take time to give thanks for what they have. As Christians, every day should be Thanksgiving. We need to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and to give thanks to Him and praise His name every day. Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in work or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Think of what God has done for you in the past. Think of what He's doing for you even right now. And think about what He's going to do for you in the future. If you truly think of all those things, I think your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord for His care, for His love. Let me close with Paul's thankful response to God from Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, again, we want to say thank You for the times that we don't say thank You. Sometimes, Lord, I think we're just ignorant. We don't recognize You. We don't see what You've done for us. Other times, Lord, we let ourselves be too busy to say thank You. But Lord, I think if we each look at our own hearts and our lives, if we do something for somebody, something nice to somebody, and they don't say thank you to us, Lord, we're not over happy about that. So Lord, You need to be in the same situation. You do nice things for us, and we just accept them and go on. Lord, forgive us for our thanklessness. Lord, help us to see You. Help us to be quick, Lord, to give You thanks. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.